Welcome to the United Cast. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host Matthew, and today's an interesting one. Today I'm talking about Manchester United's 2-1 win away against Liverpool at Anfield. It's been a very long 2 weeks of the international break. We're finally back with football, and there was a lot of talk about this game. I've got a lot of different emotions. I've got some emotions that are trying to push me forward and make me believe, and there's other emotions going, look at what this football club has done in the last year, and try not to let it, you know, don't let it pull you back in. Congratulations to Ruben Amorim getting your first back-to-back Premier League wins as Manchester United manager. Congratulations to him for being the first Man United manager to win Anfield since 2016. I was hearing about that this week. Rooney in 2016, something like that. Football's a very funny thing, isn't it? Football's a very, very funny thing. You go and win the Premier League without buying anybody. You then spend $400 million improving your squad. You know, Ekotike, Wirtz, Isak. I can't remember all the other ones. Frimpong, I believe. And you start off on fire. And now you've lost four games in a row. Is Arne Slot in trouble? Are Liverpool in trouble? And then on the other hand, you finish 15th. You sell almost all your attackers. Try to sell the whole academy, barring one player. I would say keep things at the same level. Things haven't necessarily got worse and haven't necessarily got better. And then this game just lines itself up. Defeat against Man City. Defeat against Brentford. Win home to Sunderland. And then this game just sits in a really interesting spot. 2 weeks away at Anfield against Liverpool. Can you use this game? This of all the fixtures, has always been, at least in my lifetime I found, Manchester United's most difficult fixture every calendar year. Away to Man City's always been difficult, but Liverpool away, just away at Anfield, it's always a difficult one. But we did it. And that's what's so funny about football. Sometimes you look and go, this team's really good, this team's really bad, therefore the good team should win. And it doesn't always work like that. Granted, we were, it's weird to say, technically in better form. We'd won our last game. They had lost their last three. These things are facts. These things are not opinions. They'd lost their last three games. Granted, none of them were at home. And it was, you know, Liverpool, can they get back to Anfield? Can they get back on track in their, you know, effort to retain, you know, title charge? And they quite frankly looked completely out of ideas. And I've always found it very interesting in the last couple of years, particularly, let's say the last like 5 years, when we've come up against a City or a Liverpool, those two particularly, and either City or Liverpool, looking confused, looking a bit clueless. There's a couple of times we've beaten Man City in the last couple of years where they've looked a bit clueless, they've looked a bit lost, they've looked a bit out of ideas instead of us. And the thing that's been interesting in those sorts of games like this one today is the amount of fight we put up in this game. Not necessarily the quality that we showed, but the amount of fight we put into this game. But man, it's just such an interesting, like, first minute, 1-0, terrible mistake by Liverpool, we capitalise, Mbeumo, Ahmad, doing their thing on the right side, great goal, and then Liverpool just looked shaky for pretty much the rest of the game. I know they had their 10-minute period or so, they got back into things, they got an equaliser, but it's like you've won the league, relatively comfortably. Added £400 million worth of talent, and it seems to have caused some sort of weird imbalance. Like, I'm watching Liverpool move the ball forward and all that, and you've got, you know, Salah, Isak, and you've got Bert, and you've got Gakpo, and you've got all these fantastic players, and they just didn't look like they would communicate with each other very well. And we just kept putting in the fight, we kept putting in the tackle. And bit by bit, every tackle, every interception, forward pass, and we were just much more on it and much more up for it than what Liverpool were. And I can't even believe I'm talking about a game in Ruben Amorim's reign like this way, particularly away against Liverpool. You just don't expect these things to happen. But I don't know if Liverpool were in a crisis. I think they're in a very weird situation. And I don't know if it's the players' fault, the coaching's fault, Arne Slot's fault. But anyway, stop talking about Liverpool. I just wanted to talk about that part from Liverpool, because they just had a very weird game. But and look, did we play scintillating football? No, again, I don't think the quality was always there in this game, although it was at points. But it was just more about that fight. More of our players were just up for it. We still had our poor moments in the game and our sort of bad moments. But here's something else I never thought I would ever say. Well done, Ruben Amorim. You got it right today. Apart from one sub, which was a bit strange, but it didn't really affect the outcome. But well done, Ruben. You finally got it right. You still didn't change what you normally do, but it worked today. And it happens to have worked twice in a row, which, you know, ends that ridiculous streak of not winning back-to-back games. But it's interesting for both clubs, because where do Liverpool go from here? I don't know. Where do we go from here? What's... I don't really know, and I didn't really know before the season started, to be honest. What's our aim for the season? I mean, I made, like, I guess, passive-aggressive joke in, I think, a preview of, like, okay, avoiding relegation because, well, we just finished 15th. And my question was, okay, are we going to be better than Burnley, Sunderland and Leeds, which were the promoted teams? One of which we've beaten. But, yeah, it's funny how, like, because football can change like that. As I've always said, like, no matter what type of streak you're on, let's say you're on an average streak, every single game, the clock goes to zero, the scoreline goes to zero, and it's your chance to start fresh every week. Not in terms of a longevity sort of, like, if things are going really, really, really bad, then, you know, one win doesn't always change things. But this something about this feels like a different win. And I'm not saying I'm Ruben Amorim in. I'm not saying I'm, like, on board with this project. I'm not saying, like, this one game out of 35 has changed my opinion on things, because it hasn't. And I do kind of think if Liverpool turned up today with the chances that they did have, they probably still would have beaten us. But that's not our problem. That's their problem. They didn't turn up to this game. We fought harder than they did for it, and we got the better of them. I do feel slightly more positive, because this feels like a big deal. But because I'm not really sure how I feel right now, because obviously I've been saying, you know, for weeks and months at this point that, you know, this manager needs to go. It doesn't really make sense to sit here right now after this win and say that. Does this mean I'm, like, supportive of the manager? Obviously I want any manager that manages us to do well, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense. But I can't allow myself to sort of, okay, because you got your first back-to-back wins, and okay, it's a very, very big win because it's away at Anfield, 2016, all these different elements. I can't allow myself right now to be like, yep, I'm back on board, because I know that I'm not. But because people are talking now about, like, okay, I think we're like 6 points off the top. People start getting carried away. Does that mean title race? Because it's still at that really early point in the season where if you start the season off really well, you can be right near the top and be doing really well. But if you start off rough and you get stuck down the bottom, it can be bad. And we're almost getting to that sort of like 10 game point of the season, where the table eventually is going to start spreading itself out. But I suppose the aim for us now is when the table starts to spread itself out more, and the points start to get, you know, instead of 2 points between teams, it becomes 4 or 5. Where are we going to be when that happens? I actually think, because this game was a big point in terms of, okay, can we do the back-to-back thing? Can we do this, like, ridiculous quest, which is beat Liverpool away? I now think this, I think it's Brighton we've got next. I think that's almost like a bigger game than this one now. Because now that we've ticked that W, can you tick a W? You know what I mean. Now that we've done that, it's like, it puts even more emphasis on the next game, because it's like, okay, if we go and lose badly to Brighton or something, it might put us right back to where we were. But you beat Brighton, and then can you actually start putting a string of wins together? Because, you know, again, if you find yourself in a bad spot, which we were in a terrible spot, and you get a big win like this, specifically like this, and suddenly there's that little spark, not a light switch, this isn't a light switch moment necessarily, there's a little spark that makes you go, hang on a minute, if we just take this one by one by one by one, because then suddenly, if we then go and beat Brighton on Saturday, it's like, oh, suddenly, out of almost nowhere, we've got 3 wins in a row. You know, it's 9 points from 9. What does that mean? I don't know. I mean, if you were to ask, let's say, Jim Redcliffe or any of the players or the manager, and they say, hey, where do you think this could lead you to? They'll probably just say something like, you know, we'll just take this game by game and see where we go. Because there are people today, I've already heard opinions of like, okay, now we can go on a run, only 6 points off the top. And it's great to be that positive, and that is a very positive thing, only being 6 points off the top. Especially with like Arsenal kind of scraping some wins, Man City, okay, they're getting a little bit of form back, but they haven't been that great. It's more sort of just Haaland scoring. Liverpool now falling away, they were the sort of favourites. And yeah, things can change quickly in football. So again, let's not get too carried away. This is really, really good. This is a really, really good result and a very good performance as well. And there were some things I really liked that I saw out there today. But there's still too much baggage there in terms of, you know, all of the things that have happened in the last year. But yeah, this could be a turning point, but I think it's just, okay, can we now make it 3 out of 3 next week against Brighton? Because then conversation starts to change. Because if it's then the case of, I think it's Brighton, Forest, Spurs, what about if you lose your next two? It almost sort of like kills this momentum from this Liverpool game. So we'll have to see. Anyway, moving to the more immediate future, let's go in the breakdown of this game. Early goal, 2 minutes in. there was a little collision. And then Bruno's passed it through to Ahmad. Really, really nice, sneaky sort of pass. Van Dijk is completely asleep. And Bumo, who I've been saying has been playing very well, notices, finds a bit of space, outpaces Van Dijk, which, let's be honest, is becoming an easier thing to do. And tucks it away, and just all of a sudden, after all the chatter for these last 2 weeks about can we do it, can we do it, can we do it, suddenly 1 minute in, or 2 minutes in, it's 1-0. Things can just, it can take a moment to score a goal. And a lot of people were saying today about like Mbeumo and Ahmad, I think I tweeted about it as well. Sometimes they do get in each other's way a little bit, but this was a really, really great game between the two of them, and it started from minute one, and I thought they both played fantastically well. Of course, there's the argument about, like, okay, McAllister had a hand injury, should it have stopped? Maybe it should have stopped. There was a couple of referee decisions that went in our way, towards us. Things like Ahmad's handball and moments like that, which I wasn't completely comfortable with some of those decisions. But very, very well taken goal by Mbeumo. I do think he looked really positive in this game again today, and so did Ahmad. And sometimes it can be like that. Just one really well-played ball through the middle, or in this case around the side. And Mbeumo did really well to get on the end of it. So that was all that's written down here for the first half. I honestly, like, there was a chance from Mount, there was a chance from Bruno. We could have been maybe 2, maybe 3 up by halftime, which would have been wild. That would have been like, okay, what the hell is going on here? Bruno had a chance at the edge of the box. They had a little muck up at the back. I think Mount had a shot that was blocked or something. Cunha had a shot. I think it was a bit later in the game, though. But that was it for the first half. Then we had some of the subs, which was... some of these are understandable. One that didn't really work for me. Ugarte on for Casemiro. He just got another booking. I guess he's like a 60-minute player or something to do with that. Fresh legs on. Ugarte on for Casemiro. Not going to be complaining about that. And then Dorgu for Ahmad was a bit of an odd one. Maybe it was more of a defensive approach, which I didn't really like the idea of. It also then meant that you broke up the Mbeumo Ahmad thing on the right, which was our most positive thing in the game. So I was a little, I was a bit irked by that substitution. And then of course you would have had Dallo on the right and Dorgu on the left, which again, that's fine, that's understandable. It's just taking off Ahmad that's the thing that kind of irked me, because he was doing really, really well. And then you had Sesko on for Mason Mount. I personally would have kept Mount on, and I would have taken Cunha off. I think I would have had, Mount left 10, Sesko up front, and Mbeumo on the right 10. Bit interesting he didn't start Sesko, but I just have a problem with Cunha at the moment. I just don't think he's really performing. But thought Mount did really, really well, so that was good. Then they made a bunch of substitutions. Obviously, it was a kind of panic time for them. Then they scored their goal. Bit of a scrappy one. They had some scrappy chances. They did it at the post a couple of times. Gakpo had a few good shots in that. And this was after, Ekitike was subbed on. He took a few pretty good shots at the goal. Then they scored their goal. It was onside. Unfortunately, Dorgu, his leg was sticking out. And then Gakpo tucked it away. And then that's when... That goal was one of the more annoying ones under Ruben Amorim's reign, because I felt like I was there with the team and I was actually believing. It just felt like there was just something in the air where it's like 1-0, we've held on so long. We just kept fighting and kept fighting and kept fighting, and you will have to do your share of defending at Anfield. It's just the way that it is. Excuse me. And then they just snuck in this goal. They just found the pocket. If anyone deserves a score, it was Gakpo. He was playing really, really well. But I can't remember who's at fault for this goal or whatever. It's just that they unfortunately found that pocket of space and then tucked it away from 1-1. But then the moment came. I think it was from a corner. It was a few passes bobbling back and forth. Then Bruno did like a lobbed volley cross. And Harry Maguire to the rescue once again. I tell you what, I've really loved seeing, and I've mentioned this a few times before, I've loved seeing Maguire's turnaround in his career. What was it? I think it was in Erik ten Hag's second season. It was like, right, Maguire's at the top of the list, got to get rid of him. And I remember he put out a statement and was like, I don't want to leave, I want to work hard. He started putting out training videos, and he still had some rough moments over the next couple of years that followed. But eventually, actually did turn into the player that we signed, and not the sort of bumbling, fridge, as people call him, that couldn't move, couldn't do anything. and he's come up with a number of these, Harry Maguire. There was one, of course, in the Europa League last season. There's a bunch of winning or drawing goals like these that he scored. Sometimes you just need a useful tall player like that in the team. And again, another really, really well-taken goal from Harry. If anything, Liverpool should have kept a better eye on him here and marked him better or tried to play him offside or something. Cross from Bruno here is really, really good as well. so that was great. But see, it's interesting because, okay, 85 minutes, it could be a winning goal because they added 8 on, so there was roughly another 15 or so to play after this. Did feel like a winning goal, but then you kind of got brought back down a bit in terms of, okay, Liverpool going to come at us now, they're going to give us everything. You know, they brought... they took Salah off, I didn't realise that, for Frimpong. He started doing a couple of bits, getting a couple of crosses in. Gakpo, like, had a missed chance. Again, this would have been an interesting game if Liverpool had played better or if they had taken more of their chances, but they just didn't. They just weren't clinical enough against us. Then we made a couple of subs. Cobby on for Bruno, which you don't often see. It's very rare. And then Lenny Yoro on for Luke Shaw, which is what I would have started the game with. I would have not started Luke Shaw. Probably would have gone Dilett, Maguire, Yoro, I think, with... this one. That's it. That's the end of the match. We do have player ratings and stuff to get into. I'm not finished yet. But, yeah. It's certainly an interesting win. It's one that I do feel like I should be much, much happier about. But I just can't quite bring myself to sort of... like, in isolation, okay, beating Liverpool away at Anfield is a massive achievement for anybody, because that's a very, very, very difficult thing to do. There's just a few kind of asterisks towards that that's stopping me from going from, like, okay, I'm very, very happy that that happened, and it'll be very interesting to see where we go from here against Brighton. That's the next sort of checkpoint. What does it mean if we win 3 games in a row after we struggled for an entire year to win 2 games in a row? But it's the fact that, like, okay, Liverpool not being as great, what would it have looked like today if they were better? And I can't have, like, one instance after a year of Ruben Amorim where it's like, okay, now I'm suddenly put on a switch and I'm on board. I'm just not on board yet. Like, this is great, but it's now this very much, because I can't see a third option. It's now very much like, if you go and get that win against Brighton, and then we really can start to maybe finally see something after everything has happened. But it's like, if you now go and stupidly lose to Brighton, and then it brings us back down, there's a worry that we could slip back right into where we were. But you go and show us, Ruben. Show us what you got now. You finally got your back-to-back wins. You've beaten Liverpool. Weirdly, that being achieved away at Liverpool. But yeah, you've got to show us what you can. What does this mean now? Where are we going? It's going to be annoying if we, like, draw against Brighton, because it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? Maybe that is the third option. But left to see. Anyways, take a break. Come back, and we'll do player ratings. See you for that in a minute.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps, and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review, so it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, back with the player ratings. Got a few tens and one, if not maybe two zeros. There was a few not great ones out there today, but I do have a few tens to give out. Who's my actual man of the match? I've not thought about that. I might have to give it to Maguire. Got the winning goal. Solid defensively. I was considering Ahmad. Ooh, Dalit played really well as well. Boomer is also really, really good. I'm going to give it to Maguire. He got the winning goal. Solid in defence. Didn't really make any mistakes that I remember. And it didn't allow himself to get, you know, caught on the break or anything like that. So that's fantastic. See, I'm going to give Maguire a 10 for the reasons I've just explained. Let's go back to the goalkeeper. I've got to give Lemenza a 10. He has clearly installed some actual confidence in this team as well. He's catching some of the ball, although there was one that he weirdly dropped and picked back up or whatever it was. But anyway, playing out from the back is pretty good. Distribution was pretty good. But, you know, the nightmare of Onana dropping the ball and being there, then dropping the ball, and then it's like, okay, well, who do we turn to now? We then sign this 22-year-old guy, and he's finally catching the ball. I know it's like the basic things for the goalkeeper, but it really does make a lot of difference because it also makes your defence more confident as well. Like, okay, we don't have to scramble as much thinking, is our goalkeeper going to drop the ball? Is he going to spill it into the net? Is he going to be weak at corners? Yeah, so give him a 10. He's again, it was interesting to me when, like, because I didn't really see the Sunderland game because it was, again, 3 o'clock game, and I'd heard nothing but good things about him, which was great. And it's like, okay, great that you can do that at home to Sunderland. Can you do it away at Anfield? And he did. He was absolutely fantastic. So it's great to finally have a really good goalkeeper again, because the Onana phase was a weird one, wasn't it? So give him a 10. Dalit going to give a 10 as well. I thought he was fantastic. Just really, really solid. Again, one of my favourite players in this team. I'm really, really glad that we have him in this team. And I thought he was fantastic. Luke Shaw. He was okay. He was certainly worse in more recent games, like the City game and stuff. Probably game before. I think he was all right. He was okay in this game. Let's go over to Ahmed Diallo. Going to give him an easy 10. Just brilliant from him. Of course, you know, trying to set up Bruno's chance. He's obviously set up Mbeumo's chance in this game. Just a shame that he did get subbed off, but it is what it is, I suppose. And yeah, it's been a lot of questions around his, you know, ability and his confidence. Not that I really had those questions, but yeah, starting to. You can see he's maybe, hopefully, starting to properly form something with Mbeumo, which is really, really great as well. So that's really good. Casemiro, Bruno Fernandes. I think I'll give them both a 6. They were pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, Bruno's assist was really, really good for Maguire's goal. They just sort of did their jobs, and I didn't really notice anything horrendous, apart from there was a couple of weird Bruno passes, but it's almost a given at this point. There was one of his, like, shot passes as well. He, like, kicked the ball at someone. But, yeah, nothing terribly horrendous from either of them. So I'll give him both a 6. Dallo, I think he's going to be one that you've got to give a 0 to. Especially when it was on that left side. My goodness me. Looking really, really shaky. So that was unfortunate. Mbeumo, going to give a 10 to as well. I've liked him since he's come in. It didn't take him too long to get his first goal. I think he's looked confident. He certainly had Liverpool's defence, you know, up on the rope, so to speak. Of course, just strolled past Van Dijk, held off Konate. Really, really good goal. It is weird that we essentially have two of the same player on the same side, which is Mbeumo and Ahmad. But it seems to be working okay now. So that's really good. Mason Mount, I'm going to give him a 10, personally. I think his performances have been going unnoticed, but It's just, because he was another player when, like, if you said to me, okay, would you be happy if Man United signed this player? So, like, you know, with Mason Mount and with De Ligt. And I go, yeah, would love to have them at Man United. And he's another one of them. And it's great that finally he's finally starting to get an actual run of games. There's still the worry there, and you've got to, like, you know, wrap him up and cut him all, as they say. But he... and by the way, he's got a cracking finish on him. I did see the goal that he scored against, I think it was the Sunderland game, wasn't it? Just, he's got a really, really great shot. He can play in a lot of different positions in this formation. He's just someone, not in the same way as Donny used to do for Man United, although we didn't get much of a chance to do it. A midfielder who just keeps things ticking is someone that I like. But that is a trait that really goes unnoticed, because you're not doing the flashy stuff, you're not getting as many goals and assists, but you're just keeping the ball, keeping things moving, keeping things passing. It's very useful to the team, so I'm going to give him a 10. My second player to get a 0 today is Cunha. I am very confused by this player, because he really looks off it to me. I saw a few people saying he was like one of our best players today, and I don't really understand that. He keeps falling over, he's looking wonky, his shots are really oddly poor. I don't know, I've not, and he's not scored yet, which doesn't help him either. Because, of course, you know, Sesko and Mbeumo have broken their ducks, haven't they? With scoring goals. Maybe he just needs that first goal. Sometimes that's the case for players, but I also think it might help if you do Sesko, Mount, Mbeumo next game, and you bring Cunha off the bench for somebody. That might help something, I think. So I have to see. Anyway, that's my player ratings. Let's go to the bench. We had Ugarte, Dorgu, Sesko, Kobbie, and Nyoro. None of them really got a ton of time to really be impressive. I thought Dorgu played quite well when he came on, actually. Because it was Delo who started over there, wasn't it? Sesko looked pretty decent at points. I think he's starting to slowly improve, starting to hold the ball up a bit more, which is great. Garte, I didn't particularly notice. Kobbie did a couple of things, and Yoro did a couple of things as well, but they all came on pretty late, so there's that. On the bench, we had Biyende, Dorgu, Heaven, Kobbie, Mesraoui, Sesko, Ugarte, Yoro, and Xerxes. Don't know what's going on with Xerxes. Can't seem to get a minute of game time. And of course, on the injuries list is still Lisandro Martinez, who I think will really help things out. So that's the game. We beat Liverpool at Anfield, finally. And Ruben Amorim finally has got those back-to-back wins, which took him a year. Let's actually just have a little look at the Premier League table, shall we? Because it's looking very interesting. So let's read first to ninth, because that's where we are now. Arsenal at the top. Everybody's played 8 games. They're top with 19. City second with 16. Liverpool still third with 15. They're not out the title race or anything crazy like that, but, you know, on a very bad run of form. Bournemouth 4th, 15 points. Chelsea 5th, 14 points. Tottenham 14 points. Sunderland 14 points. Crystal Palace, who were unlucky not to get a 4-3 when I saw highlights from that game, 13 points. And then us, sitting on 13 points, minus one goal difference in ninth. So 13, 14, 15, 16. So if we can win our next game, go 16 points, we'll be in the top four. Depends on what everybody else does, you know, next weekend. But then, of course, we do play Brighton, who are right below us. So again, you know, if we lose this run of 2 games, they beat us, they'll go above us, we'll go back down. We'll see how it goes, I suppose. But again, it's that point in the season where, like, okay, three points? Yeah, Burnley, who was 17th on 7 points. So they get another 3. That's 10. Then they're 3 behind us. So there's still not quite that big gap yet, is there? So teams are still going to be jumping around all over the place. But we'll have to see what happens. Let's look at our fixtures. So yeah, home to Brighton. Do I expect us to win the next game? I didn't know what to expect for this game, to be perfectly honest, because it didn't seem like a foregone conclusion that we would lose or draw this game. Sorry, or win this game. Or draw it. I really didn't know what to expect going into this game. If Liverpool were on better form, I would have been like, okay, we're probably going to lose, unfortunately. But yeah, so I don't know, we got kind of a decent run of fixtures next. We've got Brighton at home, could win that. Forest away, they're in a really weird situation. They just sacked Ange, and they're bringing in somebody. And then Tottenham away. That'll be a very interesting one as well. Again, Tottenham are just a very funny team. And then we've got Everton at home. Everton could be another one of them weird teams. So it could be one where we win our next game, draw the one after that, and then it depends what we do from those games, because then you have a bit of a change with Tottenham and Everton, and then you've got Crystal Palace away. They'll be looking to keep their decent run of form. I don't know. But the next two could be winnable. I can finally feel a bit of a spark about this team, and who knows, maybe we lose 2-0 next week and I'm like, okay, we're back down to where we were. I'm trying to keep myself right on that edge of like, it feels like there could be something there. Or there could be a gush of wind over the campfire, over that little spark, and maybe the spark goes out and then we're just back to where we were. It'll be very, very interesting to see where we're at after next week's game, I think. Because I just don't know. I'm not sure what to think. So there we go. Anyway, it could be an interesting turn of events. We'll have to see. But what do you think? Give me your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. If you're a Liverpool fan, but what the hell do you think is going on right now? You started off really well. You spent 400 million, but now nobody's doing anything. Isak isn't scoring. Wirtz isn't scoring. Salah looked lost. Van Dijk looks finished. Van Dijk really does look finished, doesn't he? Like, genuinely. I mean, I think this was an off day for Salah. Isak, we know, can be really good. You've got, like, Ekotika, who's good. Gakpo's good. Wirtz hasn't really kind of shown up yet. Salah looked a bit lost. But Van Dijk looks just... I think you should sell him in January, to be honest. He looks done. He really, really does look done. I was saying this to my dad after the game. Van Dijk now reminds me of the bad Maguire. Yeah, that like, and again, the amount of times I saw the goal today, and it's like he's just strolling next to Konate. Konate's trying to like break his back to catch up with Mbeumo, because Van Dijk is just like jogging back. He looks completely finished. I don't think Salah's finished, but Van Dijk certainly does. I just think this was one of them weird off days for Salah. We know how good he can be. But Van Dijk's not been good for a minute. He's not been good for a minute. And then I just think that you've got to figure out, like, Ekotike, Isak, Wirtz, Gakpo. How does it all kind of fit together? Anyway, but that's your problem, not ours. So, Liverpool fans, what the hell do you think of what's going on with your club? We'll have to wait and see. Yes, for Man United fans and neutrals and everybody else, what do you think of us winning this game? What do you think it means? What do you think this means for the Brighton game? And everything else surrounding it. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, and Entertainment Talk, and his information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Man United podcast. Has been an absolutely packed week. I'm not recording anything tomorrow. I'll just be watching Breaking Bad tomorrow. But we've got Breaking Bad, Gaming Talk, Gen V, Palestinian Israel podcast over on Political Talk, Video Game Review, Metal Gear Solid, Yellow Jackets podcast last week talking about Season 4 being the final season, and then this United cast as well. And then next week we've got the finale of Gen V, Invasion's got its season finale coming out, got another Breaking Bad episode to cover, another Gaming Talk episode to do, and at some point I'll breathe. And then, Brighton home next Saturday, 6 days' time, and we'll see how it all goes. Anyway, if you want to support the work that we do, which would be great, you can head over to entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platform is entertainmenttalk, TV, games, films, main night podcast. Please listen to more things, all that kind of stuff. And word of mouth, social media, that always helps us out. And if someone mentions the thing we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the ad-free podcast review options. Excuse me, look out for those as well if you like to. TV and film news over on Geek Town Radio. Excuse me, Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. And YouTube as well. Entertainment Talk Plays for all of our different video game bits and pieces and whatnot. Anyway, I'll still be processing this game until the next one, honestly. Like, I'm just, feeling a lot of different things right now. But what does it mean for Brighton? Can we do three? Can we suddenly, from not being able to do two for a whole year, do three? And if we do five, by the way, I don't know how many of you know about this. There's a guy who, like, has been letting his hair grow until May United get five wins. Can we get three? Can we almost get there? We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.